That was such a solid intro, too.
No, I fucked up the intro. I'm glad I'm recording now. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Waiters podcast, the comic book show where we read a different trade paperback every single week.
We're brothers.
My name is Nathan.
I'm Daniel.
And he's my brother. And we read books, don't we, Daniel?
We do. Thank you for coming on my podcast.
Yep. You're ready to go. You just had some canes.
Yes, sir. I'm all fueled.
You're all fueled with the canes. Did you get a box combo?
I got a three finger. Gotta cut it down.
A three finger? What are you, on a diet?
Yes. Me too. Because I hate myself.
That's okay. I am too. I had salad and go. I can't really judge.
Yeah. Did you have salad and go every time you come here?
Yeah, because it's easy to eat on the way here.
Exactly.
Because it's in wrap form.
Before we get started, I have something I need to ask you.
Oh, God.
I just learned some new information. I want to know if you knew it.
Okay.
You know, we're on a podcast, and we have to segue.
We
have to segue into different, segments.
Yep.
Do you know how to spell segue?
S-E-G-W-A-Y or S-E-G-U-A-E.
No.
What is it?
But I didn't know there's a second way. I just thought it was like the fucking wheel thing. Scooter. It's S-E-G-U-E-S.
U-E-S.
That's segues.
That's sex. Segs.
Segs. I'm just like... It just made me so upset because I felt so stupid. I'm like, they spell it wrong.
I don't know. Yeah.
I thought it was just like the fucking thing that kids ride.
What came first? The Segues or Segway?
Probably Segues.
I wonder why they named it Segway then for the vehicle.
Because you go from Paul Blart drives. You segue from one room to another.
Yeah, but I guess cars do that. Or scooters.
They don't go in rooms. You don't ride a scooter in the house. Anyway.
Hoverboards.
It just made me upset.
Yeah. Well... Let's get into the news. We got to make it a quick episode this week, so we'll go straight into the news.
Tom King tweeted about a creator-owned book.
I did not. What do we know about it?
What we know about it.
He's just doing one?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, good things.
Because
who knows what it could be?
We haven't really seen him do... Really, any creator owned except for Sheriff of Babylon.
Right.
Is that right? Because everything else, like Omega Man, Vision, yeah, Mr. Miracle, and all that, that's all been like DC stuff. So that's interesting.
Vision was Marvel.
Yeah, basically. So it's all been big two stuff. So I'm excited to see an independent thing from him. There was a copy of Action Comics number 1, graded 8.5, that was sold. And guess how much it was sold for? I think the previous.
$8.5 million.
No. I think the previous high was 1 million ish.
For an 8.5?
That the previous highest sold comic, which was an Action Comics, but I don't think it was an 8.5.
I thought there was an Action Comics like 10.
There is one out there, but I don't think it was worth technically as much. So if they were to sell that now,
or whatever.
Yeah, it was like a 9.8.
I thought it was like 10 million that thing went for.
This one was 3.25 million.
Pretty crazy.
Yep. So that was sold to some big old nerd.
A rich nerd.
Yeah.
Even if I had $3.2 million.
I can't fathom spending that much.
For 24 page pieces of paper.
It's probably not even that good.
Yeah. Probably shit.
If you read it. You have to crack it open and then read it.
I don't even like Superman that much. But
yeah. He's not even my favorite.
It's just like a flex at that point.
Who is your favorite comic book character? I was thinking about this the other day.
Because
mine's pretty clear, like Green Lantern, Iron Fist sort of area. I'm very fond of like Moon Knight and stuff like that, but I have no idea.
I don't know. I thought about how I didn't have one the other day. I would have to think on it.
It could be like
because
Invincible,
like,
if you want it to be.
Invincible's not that compelling of a character, though.
I'd say he is.
It's just a really good like series.
As much as Spider-Man is.
So do you base it off of like what they can do or like the
doesn't matter
series that they've been in?
It doesn't really matter.
Because I'll like characters more if like the series that they're in are really good.
I'm sure like people enjoy Mr. Miracle as their like favorite characters because of the Tom King run, but don't really give a shit about the Grant Morrison run. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to think about that. I'll go based off of like the coolest thing they're able to do kind of thing.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. Nightwing used to be my favorite, but that was before I actually was reading comics.
Yeah.
Just because I liked Robins and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Nightwing stuff isn't phenomenal either. Like, he's a great character, but trying to read his stuff can sometimes be a little bit hard.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Batman / Fortnite comic, remember that?
I do.
It was severely underordered by a majority of comic book stores. And there's a lot of interest by it because Fortnite themselves have put the fact that there's a Batman / Fortnite comic on their game on the home screen, and that there is a digital code in there that will give you cosmetic skins. and it's so sought out for right now that people are paying $40 on eBay just for the code, not even the comic. So like there's a, because you can only get the code if you get the comic in a local store, not even if you buy it online.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people trying to get this comic book right now that just released this Wednesday, and they are doing like second printings of it, but some people have it right now. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, because I mean, with those kind of things that are crossing over with non-comic properties, like I can't imagine, like, you know, comic shops would order like a ton.
Yeah, it's just definitely like a
get
risk.
A couple in case some kids come in. Mm-hmm. You know? Nathan, we got a trailer for Shang-Chi.
Yes, we did.
Coming September 3rd. Looks pretty cool. Doesn't even look like it's in the Marvel Universe.
Looks great.
Good choreography, and then Awkwafina is in it.
Yeah, I didn't know Awkwafina was in this.
I'm like, okay, yeah, it's fine.
She's great.
She's good. From what I saw, it seemed kind of, her lines are kind of cheesy, but other than that,
Seems like the person that's just gonna be like, whoa, what's happening? Kind of deal. Yeah,
be like, what, you got?
You can fight.
You can kung
good?
Fu or whatever.
Yeah.
What are the 10 rings? Oh my god.
Yeah, the 10 rings are interesting because they're not rings that you wear on your fingers, which they normally are.
The rings like, that wear you on your toes?
That would be funny, wouldn't it? If they just turned this villain into like a kicking character. But no, it's like, did you see the rings on like the whoever's forearms or whatever?
No.
It like went up their arms, which normally they're on the fingers and they all do like a different thing or whatever. But I think that comes a little bit too close to like Infinity Gauntlet for Marvel. Mm-hmm. So I think they made like this design change, which I largely am here for. It doesn't really matter where they are, I guess.
Right.
But I wonder if they're going to take the approach of like each one kind of does like a different thing. They're not like as crazy as the Infinity Gauntlet, obviously, but they just kind of have like a different effect. And that doesn't seem like they're going to do that because they don't seem like they're different colors or anything. But
yeah.
Yeah, but it looks good.
Yeah, it'll be sick. Coming this year, apparently, September 3rd.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. I just thought this was farther out.
No.
I realized today that I'm not really excited for anything in the future with Marvel. I'm just more excited about what's coming next. Like, what's soonest. So I'm really excited about, like, Black Widow and this and, like, the Loki series.
You're just excited to have Marvel stuff, but you're not excited for what's coming?
Yeah, I'm like... Like Guardians, like that'd be sick, but that's like, I don't know, 2 years away. So yeah. It's like, why even bother being excited about it?
Yeah, okay, I get that.
You know what I mean? That's just how I feel.
Yeah.
We also got a trailer, Nathan, for Love, Death, and Robots season 2.
I'm very hyped for it. I didn't see the trailer, but I love the show. I think I'm gonna have a watch party if you want to be a part of it.
Dude, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically just a bunch of different types of animation, and we have no idea what any of the stories are. And it comes May 14th.
The studio behind.
Well, that's like 4 weeks or 3 weeks.
It's pretty close. The studio behind Spider-Verse was part of season 1, so hopefully we see them as part of season 2. They did the one where it's like the girl and she's like naked running around from a person that she saw kill another person.
Remember that one? That's a good one.
Yeah, that was a great one. So I hope that we see that studio again because they do really good stuff.
Definitely.
DC announced Blue and Gold, a Booster Gold and Blue Beetle series that's going to be written by Dan Jurgens, who originally created Booster Gold, and it's going to be...
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, shit.
And drawn by Ryan Sook, and I think he's a phenomenal artist.
I know that name.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited for that. I think just like a comic like this feels very needed right now, just like a simple, like, fun comedy book. Yeah. And Blue and Gold are like a very good duo, so...
What if it was like Blue Beetle and Booster Gold, but it was like the Black series?
I don't even know what that... I can't even fathom what that would even look like.
I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Maybe it'd just be like just explicit like, language or whatever.
That'd be kind of cool. I feel like they could do a Black Label book that's just like a rated R comedy movie, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Definitely.
And then there's also DC announced Justice League Infinity, which is going to be a Justice League book... That continues,
has Infinity Gauntlet.
No, that continues on the Justice League animated series.
Oh, cool.
So the one with like Hot Girl in it, Martian Manhunter, the Jon Stewart Green Lantern and everything.
Yeah.
It's a continuation of that. So if you like that team, then that's the people that are going to be a part of it.
Who's the artist? Isn't there like a guy who did the artwork for all those?
There is... I know his name normally. I'm skipping on it right now, but...
I follow him, and like he designs like the toys and stuff like, that are based off the show.
Oh, man.
He's doing like the...
I can't remember.
It's not Tim Sale, is it?
No, Tim Sale is a normal artist. It's a simple name like that. I can't remember it right now, but...
Anyway.
The creative team is J.M. DeMatteis and a couple people that I don't really recognize. Tucker, Beavers, Filardi.
Good name.
Yeah. So, I'm pretty excited about that. Covers are going to be by Francis Manapul.
Nice.
He does some bangers. So
definitely.
Russell Crowe is going to be Zeus.
Yeah, that Thor. That's some of my news.
How does that even work? Because Thor is like Norse and Zeus is like Greek, right?
They have like Greek and Norse mythology in the Marvel Universe. Because there's also like Hercules.
That doesn't count. I'm just kidding.
What do you mean?
That's true.
So I think Thor and then all the Thor things are the only Norse mythology. And then other stuff is like Greek.
Yeah, that's true. So that seems like it'll be interesting.
Nathan, Emilia Clarke wrote a comic for Image that will be coming out July 21st.
Emilia Clarke?
Yes. She plays Daenerys Targaryen.
Oh, okay.
And
I was thinking of the person that first...
Game of Thrones.
I was thinking of the first woman that flew across the ocean or whatever. What's her name?
Emilia...
Earhart.
Emilia Earhart, yeah.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
She came back in comics.
I was like, wow, she wrote a comic way back in the day?
That's crazy. Yeah, it's called Mother of Madness. I don't know... I've never seen her write anything, but I'll probably pick it up just because.
We only just know the title. We haven't seen like a creative team or a cover.
It's like a cover. I don't know who the artist is, but...
Do you have it?
Huh?
Do you have a visual of it on there, or you just wrote it down?
I just wrote it down.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Not a big deal.
Not really comic-related news, but they're coming out with a How I Met Your Mother spinoff.
How I Met Your Father?
How I Met Your Father, starring Hilary Duff.
Seems like an odd choice.
Definitely. It seems like it'll be like... unrelated to the original.
But I always figured something was going to come out of that show.
Yeah.
It's a really good show.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think they botched the ending, and I agree with them.
I mean, how are you supposed to explain like the mom just like never being there in the story?
She could have just been going to get groceries or something.
Yo, that last episode like fucks me up every time.
It's very sad.
It's very sad, yeah.
She could have just been dead, you know, and that would have been fine too.
She was, and that's what happened.
Well, yeah, but then like Ted didn't have to go... I don't know. That's not a big deal. It doesn't matter. But
the point of this show is just to make it drag on for as long as possible. And they always knew the ending. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, we'll see how that goes, I guess.
Yep.
Sony reached a deal with Disney to have the Spider-Man movies, including the Raimiverse stuff on Disney Plus.
Cool.
In 2022.
What?
Yeah. It's just like a rights
thing. Put it on there now.
It's I don't know. Nathan.
I demand it now, Daniel.
That's all my news, I think.
That's all I got, too. So...
Okay.
With that, we'll go straight into the book that we're reading this week, in excitement for the movie named Mortal Kombat. We read the book named Mortal Kombat X.
It is a prequel to the 2015 video game.
Mortal Kombat X.
Yeah. You know, this is pretty fucking solid, in my opinion.
Did you think so?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. Like, I thought it was going to be dog shit.
I thought it was dog shit.
You thought it was dog shit?
I kind of thought it was a little dog shit.
So I had a couple problems with it, obviously. The artwork was kick-ass.
Dexter Soy is pretty incredible, honestly.
Apparently there was a ton of people on the artwork.
There were. It was mainly Dexter Soy on the main things, and then there's some secret origins spelled with a K, in case you were wondering.
Uh-huh.
Because Mortal Kombat does all that shit all the time. They spell magic with a K, secrets with a K instead of a C.
So there's a ton of history for these characters I just don't know. I don't know if they cover them in the games or whatever.
Yeah, about 10 games worth.
And so... That was a little confusing.
There's
lot of names and stuff like that.
There is. It's a lot of characters to keep track of. And I played the game and played the campaign for that game, Mortal Kombat X.
Uh-huh.
And I still had a hard time. So I wouldn't feel bad about not really knowing the characters. Like, I recognize them and I'm like, oh yeah, that guy's really fucking annoying in the game.
Yeah.
But like, I could barely remember what his deal was. And in Mortal Kombat X, that was when they first introduced like a lot of the children of some of the main people.
Yeah.
So like Sonya Blade, Johnny Cage have always kind of been in Mortal Kombat, but they have a kid named Cassie Cage. Mm-hmm. Jax has a kid.
Yeah.
And that's Jackie Briggs.
Uh-huh.
And stuff like that. So there's some offspring situation going on here.
Yeah.
Not the band.
I guess I had like really low expectations because it was a comic that was made to be a prequel for a video game.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, all right, let's get to this. But, you know, I just thought it was like pretty solid.
Yeah.
Considering just like a little confusing, kind of hard to follow, but I don't think all those things you necessarily need to like memorize. You can kind of like,
you can kind of just kind of
through it.
Yeah. You can kind of be along for the ride.
Uh-huh.
As long as you know who Scorpion is, who Raiden is kind of.
Yeah.
Deal.
Yeah. And so,
yeah, pretty good. Like there was a lot of like surprising action stuff that I didn't think DC would really publish.
This shit was like violent as fuck.
It was. It seemed like it would be like a black label thing now, I feel like.
And they just did this.
So I was pleasantly surprised by that, and I thought that was really cool. And I think that all the artists do the characters justice, because there's a lot of like in-game moves that are like very like subtly put into the comic. So like Cassie Cage does like a kick thing, but the way that it's drawn is like,
like the 3D damage kind of thing where you can like, or the x-ray damage.
Yeah, the x-ray stuff, that's crucial. That's like a little bit more on the nose, I feel like. It's done really well, but like you know that that's what Mortal Kombat is, so you have to put that in there.
Something that was super cringy is that they say finish him like 5 times in this.
I only noticed it one time. Are you kidding?
Really? I'll point it out.
Please
cause
do.
Because like, what was his name? Goro or something?
Goro, yeah.
Yeah, he like loses in a fight and he's on his knees and he's like, finish me.
Oh, I do remember. Finish me. He has to say it like super.
And it's just, and then like when they go do this like cage match or whatever, and it's,
they
like
say
a death
fatality
match. They say fatality, and then like Cassie Cage wins a fight but doesn't want to kill the girl, but like the announcer's like, finish her too, or whatever.
I only remember one time of them saying finish me. That's
no,
so funny.
I cringe, like my body cringe, like when I saw it. I was like,
yeah,
no.
I think that, you know, with every thing, either movie or video game that's been adapted into a comic book, I feel like they feel like they have to include some of those famous things in there.
Yeah, just things that you know from this.
That could be kind of cringy like that, but I think for the most part, this does it super well.
Yeah, so that's why
that stuff's pretty funny though, to be honest.
Sure.
I wonder if they're going to do that in the movie where someone just like weaves in a finish him or like a finish me.
Absolutely. Are you shitting me?
Like, but
like this movie looks cool, but it's still going to be like,
it's still going to be a little campy, I feel like.
Absolutely. They'll do the things that people who still play this game love.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. But let's get into it. So, I think we said last week that it was supposed to be like 12 issues.
Yeah,
it was not that.
It was like 4 issues, but
and then
like you can buy
secret origin issues or something.
You can buy these issues like split up into 3.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, I don't know. But like realistically, it's like 4 issues.
Okay.
Because they have like a specific endpoint.
So yeah, let's get into it. So there's a little prelude where Kenshi, he's like the blind guy that has the swords that just come out of nowhere. He's an annoying person to fight. I'll tell you everybody who's annoying to fight and who's actually...
He seems kind of cool.
He's fun to play with, annoying to fight.
Sure.
So, but he's not the most annoying. I would say if I see somebody playing Kenshi in an online match, I'm like, this will be kind of hard. Kind of deal.
Sure.
Because he has swords that kind of just like come out of nowhere that will hit you like mid distance or far distance. Mm-hmm. So that can be annoying. And he has this, so Kenshi has his son Takeda, and they're in a fight with some people that are in this thing called the Red Dragon Cult, and they're fighting the Red Dragon Cult because Kenshi betrayed them or something. And then Scorpion pulls up and he helps them win the fight. And
okay, so he like, I guess they're trespassing on like his ground or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he like punches through guy's head and says, get out of here. And so I just think of like, get out of here. Because like, he says like, get over here.
Yeah.
And so like they just change that slightly.
No, that's I think a line that he
get
does.
Out of here. No, he says get over here when he does like the little chain thing.
I know the chain thing, but I feel like.
I just didn't know he could say other things. I thought he said like.
He's like Groot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Scorpion pulls up, he helps them win the fight, and we find out Kenshi's wife was killed by the Red Dragon Cult. So Kenshi decides to drop Takeda off with Scorpion to train so that Kenshi can go off and kill the leader.
More importantly, we find out that Scorpion has a beard.
Scorpion does have a daddy beard, yeah, behind his mask.
He ends up being kind of like the coolest character, in my opinion.
He's always the coolest character, I feel like.
But, like, there's like an origin story for him, and it's fucking dope.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
But anyway.
So Scorpion has his own like dojo thing where he's training people, and that's where he's training Takeda. And it jumps to just like several years later, all of a sudden, and Takeda's like grown up a little bit, training with Scorpion for years.
Uh-huh.
And he's training with this other kid named Fox, who like kicks his ass in this particular scene.
Mm-hmm.
So by this time, we've already seen a couple x-rays and like bones and stuff getting broken. And there's surprisingly a ton of blood in like these first few pages, especially when Scorpion shows up and he like shoots his little chain at somebody's like shoulder and that bursts into blood and shit. So
pretty brutal.
I was pretty surprised by it at this point because I had to think like it is a DC comic, but yeah.
But it's not like DC properties, really.
It's not.
Like, it's like Warner Bros.
It's
shit.
A super rated M game. So I guess it's like you can't expect like kids to pick this up or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yeah, whatever. But so... We also see like a little bit, Sub-Zero fights the Red Dragon and then he gets cut with this cursed blade called the, what was it called?
The curse of the Kamidogu?
Kamidogu, yeah. So that's a dagger where if you get cut with it, you kind of get possessed into like this big blood rage, which was the, that was essentially the
plot,
of the game. Yeah. Okay. Is everybody getting possessed by this like red blood rage essentially. So Raiden shows up and he's like, thanks for keeping my dagger safe for Scorpion. And then he warns him of this demon that's like possessing these daggers. And then something happens to Fox where he's possessed and then he cuts his own face off with the special dagger that Scorpion was supposed to be protecting. And then he kills everybody in Scorpion's training place. And then Fox takes Takeda hostage and he ties up Scorpion. But Takeda and Scorpion eventually fight him off and Scorpion breathes fire on him. And then Takeda like cuts his head in half. So there's like a lot that like happens there.
Yeah, he like stabs him in the neck and then like the blade goes up and so it gets cut in half.
Yeah.
Pretty dope.
I think that's like a game fatality, actually.
I believe that.
And that's like one of the examples of they very like subtly like weave that in. Because I'm pretty sure I have recognized a fatality like that. But in the sense of this situation, it kind of makes sense.
Sure.
So yeah, Fox is just a pretty throwaway character, I guess. Like, it's supposed to be somebody that Takeda trains with, and then he just has to kill all of a sudden.
If anyone has dialogue in this, I'm like, maybe they're a character that I don't remember.
I kind of was the same way.
Because I haven't played this game in, like, 7 years, probably.
Yeah, yeah. I've played everything from Mortal Kombat versus DCU up, except for the most recent game. So
wait, when did that come out? A while ago? That was a long time ago.
2005, I think. So
okay, I'm like, I remember that.
I spent the most time on 9 and then 10, and then everything kind of outside of that.
My friends played 9, like, religiously.
9's the best one, for sure.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. At least in my opinion. I haven't even played all of them, so I guess I can't really say. But that was the one that I tried the hardest in.
Sure.
My favorite character doesn't even come up in this comic.
Who's your favorite?
Kung Lao.
What'd he do?
He's an Asian dude with like the Asian looking hat. Not the cone one like Raiden has, but it's almost like an Asian sombrero kind of looking thing.
Okay.
And that hat has like a blade on it
that he uses. You use that guy?
Yeah, he's the best. He's kind of an annoying character to fight against, but he's got the funnest combo to me.
What's he called again?
Kung Lao.
Kung Lao.
I think that's what it is. Show me a picture.
Yeah. He's got like...
What do you call that hat? I don't know if it's something that... Yeah, that one. So he, like, throws his hat at people, and that can be a thing, but he also uses his hat to, like, teleport. It's kind of fun.
Interesting.
I like Scorpion's flame breath. That's, like, a fatality thing as well in this comic. And then, yeah, so...
So they burn the temple, and then they, like, leave.
Yeah.
Because everyone's dead in it now.
Yeah, so they... And they leave to go find Raiden, who, I guess, didn't tell Scorpion that these daggers were possessed at this point.
Yeah, so he's pretty pissed.
He didn't know why he was... safeguarding this dagger. He just did it because Raiden said so. Scorpion and Takeda both leave to go find Raiden, answer what the fuck happens, and then meanwhile Raiden cuts himself with a Kamidogu dagger to find who this demon is possessing them, and he has a big scary vision, and that's how that first one ends. But I like the splash page of just like the visions that he sees in like the future.
Yeah. Oh, I guess these are
like different panels that are weaved into like the splash page.
Yeah, I guess you don't know that at this point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So then we'll go into issue 2. So this one's like, this book, like, every issue is just something completely different that barely weaves together.
Yeah, that's true.
By the end of the trade, it's just like, nobody has like a story arc that's completed yet.
Yeah, no way. You have to like read it all probably.
Yeah, it just feels like the end of like an issue, as if you're reading it like weekly.
Yeah, so there's like 3 trades of this.
Yeah.
So I think like, of like 4 issues each, so I think
yeah,
it probably works really well all together. But since there's like so many characters,
it's hard to have to like
juggle that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Did we say who did all the work on this? Did you say the writer and shit?
No, I didn't. It's Sean Kittleson who wrote, I believe, all of them. Dexter Soy did most of the art except for the origin issues, which we get, and then colored by Veronica Gandini and letters by Seda Temafonte.
Alrighty.
So. I believe that was the team that did all the main issues, but
okay,
we'll mention the artists when we get to the secret origin issues. But so issue 2, Raiden's like, oh no, there's like a blood magic thing going into the Earth realm. And so that's a thing. And then we see Sonya. I don't know if she's Sonya Cage because she has a kid with Johnny Cage, or if she's still
she's
Sonya.
Like a baby mama.
Okay. So she's still Sonya Blade.
Right.
She's like a colonel of special forces, and she has this guy named Kotal Kahn, who's like the emperor of the Outworld.
So is Mortal Kombat in the game?
Yes.
Oh, okay. He's kind of cool.
He's a shit character. He's like not, he's very slow. But he, so Mortal Kombat has the Earth Realm and then the Outworld is how I understand it.
That's kind of what I picked up.
Yeah. So Kotal Kahn's like the Emperor of the Outworld. He's locked up with Devorah and Aaron Black. Those are both fun characters to play with, I would say. So, but Kotal Kahn wants to team up with the Earth Realm to take back his throne from Milena, who he's been fighting for like the last 10 years.
Is it the one with the teeth?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the babe that looks hot, but she's got some teeth under that mask.
Everything butterface.
Yeah. She's a butterface for sure. Mortal Kombat's very ahead of its time with all these masks.
What do you mean?
Because everybody's supposed to be wearing masks now because of the pandemic.
Ah, yeah.
They knew it. So, yeah. So
I definitely felt like Sub-Zero, like when I first like put my mask on.
That's what it feels like, yeah.
I'm like, wow.
So they break out into a fight. And Raiden has to like teleport in and break it up before Kotal Kahn just like leaves. So yeah, but it's funny how like it kind of feels like they set up situations so that people can just like fight for no reasons.
Oh yeah,
essentially. Like there's a scene where with Cassie Cage and Jackie, and they're just like sparring for no reason, and they're just like talking apartment throughout the whole thing. And you're like, I guess it's like cool that they're fighting. It like, gives me something to look at, you know.
Sure.
But they're just like talking at the same time, so it's pretty funny.
I prefer that rather than them just standing around and there's dialogue.
Yeah, true.
It's like it's a game about fighting, so I guess that's got to be weaved in as much as possible.
Yeah, yeah. So, so Kotal Kahn, Devorah, and Aaron Black. Those are like the
Outworld people.
Yeah, those are the Outworld people. They're in chains. But then they just decide to break the chains when they're ready to like fight. So you'd think that like
pretty cool,
the special forces people would think something better than just like chains to like lock them all up, because they all break out like instantly when they want to.
You know, I didn't even realize that they're locked up. Honestly, I just thought they were standing really cool.
Yeah, they do stand really cool, to be honest. But yeah. So anyway, meanwhile, Cassie Cage.
Sorry, a lot of phlegm in the throat.
Yep, I could tell.
I'm better.
So meanwhile, Cassie Cage, who's the daughter of Johnny and Sonya Blade, she goes to a fight club with Jackie Briggs, who's the daughter of Jax. She signs up for the fight, I guess, in the ring. And it turns out that it's like a death match stage. So like only one person's going to leave. And she goes up against Frost, who I can't even remember if she's a character in the game. I didn't like immediately recognize her, but
she just looks like a Killer Frost with short hair.
Yeah, she seems, I feel like she might be in the game. Can you look it up, actually? You have your computer in front of you. So she goes up against Frost. Eventually, she wins and chooses not to kill her because she's like a good person or whatever. And then she's chased out. Okay, so she is a character?
Yeah, I guess so. She made her debut in Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance.
I don't know which one that is, but
cool. So I guess it's just like only some of them.
She's probably part of the game, honestly.
Okay.
So yeah, Cassie Cage signs up for this deathmatch fight. She goes up against Frost. She eventually wins after getting her ass kicked for a little bit. And she decides not to kill her because she's a good person. And then she's chased out by the Red Dragon cult that just busts in trying to get Cassie Cage for some reason. We don't really know why.
And it's really not explained either.
It's not explained at all in this trade, so don't ask us. But while she's running away, she takes selfies while she's running. And then she drops her phone as like a clue for anybody that's trying to find her after.
Oh, that's what's happening.
Okay. Yeah.
Did she just jump into like a portal or something?
That's just... Yeah, there's a portal that comes up, and she jumps into it, which doesn't seem like the best idea, honestly.
If I see a portal, I'm definitely not going to jump into it.
Especially with, like, weird...
I might throw something into
non-Earth
it.
Realm people.
Right.
I'm not going to jump in, but...
Because they get... What, do they get captured later?
Or maybe, like...
Yeah, they get captured by the...
They get captured later.
By the black dude, and then...
Yeah.
Someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Kano.
So, yeah. It's just funny to me that she's, like, taking selfies as she's being chased.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but I guess it works. So, yeah, but, and then later Sonya picks up her phone and is like, oh no, she got taken. So that's basically the end of that. But there's lots of cool fight stuff in this issue.
Let me see like that, Milena or whatever and Goro are in this.
That's after the Secret Origin issue, which I'm going to cover.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah. So I did appreciate this Origin issue because I didn't know much about Kotal Kahn. I just knew that he was like a big emperor dude. But I didn't really know his origins.
Yeah, so, I didn't realize the change in artwork. Now that it's pointed out, I see that.
Yeah. And so basically it's an origin issue about Kotal Kahn. So Kotal Kahn's dad, Kotal Ketz. So they have the same first name, but they're related.
Yeah, it's like...
It's backwards, I guess.
I think that's like how Star Wars people are, right?
So if Luke had a kid, His name would be Luke.
All right, never mind. there's an example for that.
Where, no, because like, Han Solo and Ben Solo.
Oh, like Kal-El and like... Wait, no, it's Jor-El. Never mind.
Yeah. But so here's the thing that blows my mind.
They look exactly the same.
They do. And so I'm like, maybe their first name is like their surname almost.
Yeah.
Kotal Kahn, Kotal Kets. That's fine with me. So they used to rule the Outer World until this guy named Shao Kahn, whose mm-hmm. last name is the same as Kotal Kahn's. So I'm like, who's coming up with these names? They're so fucking confusing.
I don't know.
Kotal Kahn, Kotal Kets, and then Shao Kahn. Like, what is this? But anyway, Shao Kahn shows up and took it with Goro. And, like, takes over the outworld.
Okay.
Kotal Kets kind of decides to give up his throne in exchange for a portal stone, which he, kind of allows you to just go to Earthrealm. And he gives that to Kotal Kahn and tasks him with surviving the Earthrealm. But what I don't understand is why he gives up his throne to get this portal gem, which he just gives to his son. Like, he wasn't really gaining anything out of this, it seems.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what that's about. But... anyway, Kotal Kahn goes to Earthrealm. He stumbles upon the Amazon where there's like a tribe of indigenous people there, but they're constantly under attack from like outside of the Amazon. So Kotal Kahn decides to protect them, and then he rules over that land as like a god, essentially.
Right.
And so once he does that for a bit, he goes back to the outworld, and his dad isn't really proud of him for what he did for some reason. So Kotal Kahn just like hits him, and then he goes back to the Amazon. But then he goes back to the Amazon, and then those people are dead. I don't know why they're dead.
So anyone who came to like this village or whatever like died, and then they were like eaten by the people of that village, of like Kotal Kahn's like village and shit like that.
So the Amazon people ate each other?
No, they ate like the people that like attacked them. So because if you look at this page at the top, there's a right here, you can see this dude like drinking from like a heart.
Yeah. Did he die because cannibalism is bad, or?
You know, I don't know,
or was it the like science cancer
behind it, but he said like, there's like a thing. It's like, we defeated the men from the sea, but I had never considered the enemies in their blood.
So maybe they got like cancer
or like AIDS or something. I don't know. They look like they have,
I did not pick up those AIDS, but look, that's entirely possible.
They look like they have these like red bumps all over them, like blisters. And like, that's what like killed them or something.
That's AIDS if I've ever seen it.
I don't, yeah. They got full blown AIDS.
If they ate a population with AIDS, they're going to die. I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Even though it's a sexually transmitted disease, I'm pretty sure if you ate them, you're going to get AIDS.
Yeah, and so
I'm no doctor,
I don't know
though.
Why it happened so fast, because he like went up to Outworld
for like 15 minutes,
yeah, like literally just around the corner,
yeah,
and then came back and they're all infected and dead.
He leaves to go have a tantrum in front of his dad, and then he goes back and then they're all dead. So
yeah, barely acting, a Zoom call, like
a fast acting AIDS took out this population.
Yeah.
So then we kind of jump to the present, and Kotal Kahn gives a big speech to his people about the war with Milena. And then we see Milena and Goro are, like, together now. So, I bet... So, Milena's with Goro. Goro's obviously a big man with four arms. I bet Goro has some nasty sex, right?
Definitely. I used to think Goro was so cool. Just because he had four arms.
He's cool.
Yeah.
He's very slow in the game as well, but I think a lot of people still main him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got some solid combos.
Okay.
If you know how to use him. Milena is also pretty good. There's a character that Parker played with, my buddy, when we were both playing the game, and I can't remember her name, but it was like a blue version of Milena, and she was the worst. I hated her.
Oh yeah.
Just because Parker would play him against me all the time and I'd always lose. So he's just like exponentially better at games than I am.
You gotta hate
why.
The player, not the game.
No, I hate her for that.
Hate Parker.
I do hate him, but I also hate the game too. So yeah, so that was the Secret Origin issue. That one was had art by Geraldo Borges, Borges, maybe. Colored by Mark Roberts and letters by Seda Temafonte. So this the same person.
Okay.
So yeah, now it kind of just goes into issue 3. That was kind of like a in-between issue, I guess. But there's a bunch of war stuff in this issue. So it still kind of takes perspective of Kotal Kahn. But Kotal Kahn thinks that he has a location on Goro and this dude named Rico, who I'm not familiar with at all. I don't know who Rico is, but he's like a ruler of a different part of the outworld, I guess.
Yeah, he's got like some kiss makeup. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, he does actually.
It's pretty metal.
Yeah. So Kotal Kahn sends his best men, including his father, to go ambush them because he thinks he has a lead on them. But it turns out Rico leaked their location to them and sets up a trap. And since like the Oshtek race, which is what I think Kotal-Kan is, since they get their power from like the sun and they have like sun powers, they had the character Rain, who's a character in the game, cloud up the sky so that everybody on Riko's side could attack. So Goro, Riko, and then some people from the Red Dragon cult kill Kotal-Kan's best man, or like best men, and then Goro kills his father with his own hammer that he got from Shao Kahn.
Mm-hmm.
So now Kotal-Kan's dad is dead. Kotal-Kan gets super angry. He cups himself with
the dagger.
Kamidogu dagger, and then he gets like this blood rage.
Yeah.
So I think that sequence is really cool, like, and pretty easy to follow. Like, there's just like some simple war stuff, but I wasn't entirely expecting to see this in Mortal Kombat.
War?
I figured, yeah, like war.
Yeah, because normally just like one-on-one stuff.
Yeah, normally it's just like we gotta,
there's like politics to it and shit.
It's like we all gotta band together and kill this big bad guy. But
he's got more arms than all of us. What do you think, he's better than me or something?
Yeah, but this is like war, and there's like people on each side, which I guess there is in Mortal Kombat, but it's just different than what I thought. I love the Goro finisher to his dad. He like just kind of sweep, like golfs his dad's head off.
Yeah, and then just sprays blood.
There's a lot of spines in this as well, so you can kind of see just like the top of Kotal-Kan's spine, which I think is funny.
Yeah, just flopping around.
Yeah. So Kotal-Kan rides up to that same castle, and then he does a sun strike on Rain to prevent the clouds from going over, and then he fights Goro. And Goro almost chokes him out before Kotal-Kan just rips off his arm, and then he cuts the other three off. So Goro's now gone from four arms, two extra arms, to two less arms than we have.
He's quadriplegic.
Yeah. I guess so. If he loses his legs, is he like hexaplegic?
Hexaplegic. Yeah.
That would suck.
I know.
So yeah, now he doesn't have any arms, and then Kotal-Kan like leaves him there to like suffer instead of killing him, which is kind of...
Because he's like, no, and then he's like, finish me.
Oh, that's when he says it, huh?
Yeah.
Finish me.
I can't believe you missed that. And so he's like, no, it'd be like an act of kindness or whatever. So he just leaves him like that.
That's kind of baller.
Yeah, pretty thug.
Also, Kotal-Kan gets the help from Devorah, who we saw before, and Reptile, who's a pretty big character. You know Reptile.
Yeah, Reptile's cool.
And then there's Tor, which is a very fun character in the game. It's like this big dude with like a little girl on her back.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fun character to play with. We don't really see them fight at all in this game. They're just kind of like there.
It just reminds me of like that one old game. It was like Bio something.
Bioshock. It reminds me of like Rocket and Groot.
Sure.
Yeah. It's kind of that sort of scenario. But yeah, the Bioshock is a good comparison too. So yeah, they're all there with Kotal-Kan, and they come out of invisibility because Reptile has like invisibility powers, I'm pretty sure.
This is like when Reptile, like, they actually made him look like a lizard kind of guy rather than just like another Sub-Zero that was green.
Yeah, that's right. Because he used to be a green. Yeah, because I guess Mortal Kombat just figured like Scorpion looks cool. So
yeah, let's just make
three. Let's make of a him. Blue one. Yeah, we'll make a...
What's another color we haven't used? Green.
Green. Let's Reptile. Go. What about gray? Smoke. Great. Purple? Let's make them rain. Like,
exactly.
So yeah, that they recycle a lot, but a lot of the other characters are pretty good designs.
Now Lizard has like a tongue, and he's got like a spit power, I think.
He spits acid, yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool.
He shoots like a acid bubble that goes really slow at people.
Oh, yeah. And then he's got like that little slide thing.
I guess
he can
Sub-Zero has that too, I think.
He can make mucus just come from his feet or something. I don't know how that works.
I love thinking about it though.
Yeah.
So yeah. So they all help him fight, and they eventually overrun the place, but Milena and Riko escape. So Milena essentially ditches Goro's ass like super quick.
Yeah, I don't want to date a loser.
Yeah, exactly. So she decides to fuck with Riko instead. So yeah, after that happens, Sonya Blade shows up with Johnny Cage asking where her daughter Cassie is, because they saw that she was abducted to the Outworld. Kotal-Kan doesn't know, but they find out Aaron Black, who was helping out Kotal-Kan before, was a hired merc to take Cassie and Jackie, I guess. And then we see Aaron Black and Kano together taking the girls when some dude that I'm not familiar with, he's just like a dude dressed in black coat, but he's shirtless, of course. I'm not sure what his name is, but he shows up. And then they start to, like, gear up to fight.
Uh-huh.
And then it wraps with Raiden teleporting in on Scorpion and Takeda in Earthrealm outside of his temple, saying that he shouldn't have come here. But he's still got the blood rage going on. So.
Right. Yeah. I have a coworker. His name's Mike Cano. But it's like, I just thought it was Kano right away. I'm like, that's such a sick last name.
Oh, nice. Kano. So I
just call him, most people just call him Kano.
That's a much cooler name.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kano?
Kano? Yeah, it's dumb.
You can get it's like canoe.
It's like Hispanic, and so I think that's like just why it sounds like that. But Kano's much better.
I don't care if it's Hispanic. Kano sounds cooler.
Definitely. Look at this guy. He's got a robot eye.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, but I don't know who this like other dude is that just kind of like tries to take Cassie and Jackie. Like it kind of makes me mad when they don't name a character like consistently because there's so many characters. And this is supposed to be like a prelude thing, so it's kind of tough.
Where do you see him?
He's the one that kind of gets in the way of Kano and Aaron Black, the cowboy looking dude.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure. He's got like a he's got like a sleeveless jacket
hoodie thing. It's like a cape, a
sleeveless
almost.
Jacket cape, yeah. Which is pretty dope.
Pretty thug.
I couldn't pull that off.
You know,
for sure. So anyway, yeah. So the next one is a Scorpion Secret Origin, and it's. Basically, it picks up with the Raiden fight, and Scorpion tries to tell him it's like the daggers that are making him crazy, but Takeda stabs Raiden in the back. Raiden grabs the metal sword and electrocutes him through that, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then Scorpion has to teleport him away to save him.
He can teleport?
Scorpion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah. It's down back X.
Just make him that much cooler.
Yeah. That I think that's like a somewhat new addition. And it's super annoying in the game just because someone, unless you like can anticipate when they're going to do it and you like block beforehand, like before they even make the move, you can't block it essentially. So it's just like a free couple hits and it's like a cheesy move.
Dumb.
But anyway, I like the shot where Raiden electrocutes Scorpion because you can kind of see his skeleton, but through his body. So like his skeleton is kind of shown in like black.
Yeah.
And I think that's super sick.
Pretty metal.
I don't think I've seen like that trope of like being electrocuted and seeing your skeleton done in that way.
Like, well,
yeah. Yeah. Essentially that's the best way you could probably do it. I think. So I think that was really creative. So yeah, then it cuts to a few weeks back when Scorpion and Takeda are like making their way to go see Raiden, and they're talking about how Scorpion got the Hellfire, and essentially Sub-Zero killed Scorpion's village. He ripped off Scorpion's head and spine off from his body. Like one of the fatalities.
Yeah. Kind of like what, Predator does.
Yeah exactly like that.
I was just like, okay.
And then he's still alive in that state for a couple seconds, I guess, and he sees his own wife and newborn child frozen.
Yeah, I guess if you're decapitated, your mind is still like alive for like 10 to 15 seconds.
I think it's like 5 seconds,
like your brain like still works.
Yeah, so I guess in those couple seconds he sees his own wife and unborn, or not unborn,
maybe
newly born child.
Yep.
Frozen, so they're dead now.
Mm-hmm.
So then Scorpion dies, he's in hell, and while in hell, Quan Chi, who's like another character. It's another character. And so he chooses to have him don the Hellfire since his loss was like a fire within him. I don't know, it's a really cheesy explanation.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of pain, and he can't feel pain from fire because the pain of his family is too much pain. It's that thing. So then also, like, I guess Kenshi points out that his Hellfire is just a representation of his shame and pain and loss. I don't know, shit like that. So that's basically the secret origin.
I thought it was pretty cool.
It is cool. Yeah, I think it's a great addition to this.
He doesn't strike me as someone who settles down, so
yeah,
that was exactly cool to see.
Yeah, so he does this essentially for his family that's now dead. That one was also written by Sean Kittleson, pencils by Daniel Sampier, inks by Juan Albarin, colors by Kyle Ritter, and then letters by Seda Timofonte again. So pretty good. And then it goes into issue 4, which is like the last issue, I guess. But it goes right back to the main story. Scorpion beats the blood magic out of Raiden, and then Raiden brings Takeda back to some place to like heal him. And then the book finally explains what these weird magic daggers are. So essentially, Raiden has this amulet, which is supposed to imprison this dude named Shinnok, who's a part of the game. He's like the main bad guy in Mortal Kombat X.
Okay.
And if this amulet is destroyed, then Shinnok is free. So he needs to protect the amulet. But there's also keys that are there that will unlock the amulet, but the keys are daggers, if that makes sense to you.
Pretty thug.
Yeah. And there's multiple daggers.
It's badass. Not just some lame keys. There's daggers too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're called the Kamidagu daggers. And then Raiden is like, I can't have these all in one place. So he entrusted one dagger with a bunch of deadly champions like Scorpion to protect them. But what he failed to tell people is that they're possessed, and they will possess people when you cut them with those daggers, which I feel like is a pretty important piece of knowledge that they would want to know.
Yeah, it's not something you should leave out, I don't think.
He explains it as like he thought it was better if they didn't know, but I think it would be better if you did tell them. You know? Maybe don't use a dagger, because your whole training dojo might die from it.
I can't even imagine like a worse thing that could happen. Like, they would protect it more knowing that.
Yeah, that's
like, what could happen.
That's what I'm saying.
If you just tell them.
Yeah, Raiden's fucking dumb. So all the daggers are accounted for except for one, which was stolen by Sub-Zero. And Raiden knows whoever corrupted the daggers wants to free Shinnok. So we don't really know who possessed all these daggers, essentially. But so they have to go and stop Sub-Zero. Meanwhile, the rest of the gang, like Sonya, Blade, and all them, they're trying to find Cassie. We get a flashback of the fight that happens where Jackie and Cassie, like, fatality one of the guys there. And that's one of the instances of finish him that, mm-hmm. that happens. But they were both eventually taken, but Aaron Black survived, and he gives the message that they were invited to Shang Tsung's island, where Rico and his host Havoc are there, I guess. And that's the end. It's such like an abrupt ending. Like, it feels like just the end of like a normal issue, where like it doesn't really feel like much of a ending of an arc. It's just like, this is basically just an issue.
Yeah, it's like all of them are written, you know, like the whole story is written together, and they just had to break it up for trades.
Which, to be fair, if you're trying to go to Mortal Kombat for really great storytelling and non-convoluted storylines, you shouldn't go to Mortal Kombat.
Right.
Because it's a fighting game. But
is this the only thing that has like tried to like give like more background to these people? Or are there like books and stuff? Or
I have no idea. I think they, I feel like they would have to have like probably books.
So when you play on like campaign or whatever,
yeah,
is there like scenes in between and shit like that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a lot of scenes of like kind of shitty dialogue, and it's like you fight somebody, and then it's like, yeah, I told you you shouldn't have fucking fucked with me. And then they go back and they walk up to like the other people that are there, and they were just like watching, I guess. And they're like, we got to go find Raiden. And then they go to find Raiden, and it's like, oh, Reptile's here. We got to fight him along with his people. And then it like transitions into like a fight. It's all very like cookie cutter, sure. Almost. But I don't know how else you would do that story.
Yeah.
So
weird to where you fight literally everybody.
Because I think they've tried to do something different, and it turned into just like Mortal Kombat characters like running through a city and like fighting people. It's very strange.
Okay.
So
yeah,
it's fun for what it is, like for fighting, but I guess if you want to know some kind of story, that can be kind of fun too.
Yeah.
So also Shang Tsung is like the original like person that held the Mortal Kombat tournament, so uh-huh. That's who that is. That's why he's important.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, but overall it feels like this kind of should have been collected differently, but it's not a big deal. So now we'll go into Back Matter Matters.
Back matter matters.
And there's actually a good amount of back matter here.
So yeah, there's tons.
Did we get their original character designs by Dexter Soy?
Pretty dope.
And these are like, they give me like a Boss Logic kind of vibe to them, almost. Where it's just like the character studies of each person.
Sure.
Yeah, so we get Raiden, we get Scorpion.
So I've actually read a ton of Dexter Soy stuff. Because he did like a ton of Red Hood shit.
Yeah.
He did like Red Hood and Arsenal. He did Red Hood and the Outlaws in mm-hmm. Rebirth.
He's a hustler for sure.
And then I think he did Red Hood Outlaw, but I can't remember. So I was like, this looks so familiar. And then I like looked it up. I'm like, oh, I've read like 50 issues from this dude.
Oh, wow. Was it Red Hood and the Outlaws?
Yeah. So oh, that cool. that was really long that he did. Not like the New 52, but the Rebirth one,
yeah.
And then because right before that there was Red Hood in Arsenal,
mm-hmm.
and he did that one as well.
Which is Red Hood like, your favorite character? You like Red Hood? He's a good character.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Top five.
Five. Easily.
Okay, that's good.
His story's not super compelling, I guess.
I would think so. I think it is.
I mean, like, yeah, it's
getting
like,
killed by Joker, coming back, using guns. Yeah, he's cool now.
I guess I enjoy like anti-heroes and stuff like that, but yeah. Like. Him not having like any powers is not very cool, man.
It's not very cool, but people like Batman.
That's true.
Yeah.
I do have a Red Hood pop, too.
Yeah, you do. We have a character design of Takeda when he's 8 years old and 15 years old. Kenshi. I think Kenshi's one of the like coolest like newer additions because he's like a blind dude that fights, and I always fuck with that.
Oh, is he a bit newer?
Yeah, I think he seems like he's a bit newer.
Okay. How new. Yeah, because you got we got Styx. He's blind and pretty badass. Daredevil. And then that one blind dude from Rogue One. He's pretty cool.
Yep. He does good.
Yeah.
He'll walk in a big field with a bunch of fire and not get hit.
Yeah.
We get some Red Dragon cult concepts, and they look pretty cool.
Oh, Ivan Reese did the covers.
Yeah, dude. They were gorgeous.
Oh, my goodness. Look at these.
They were
got
the
some
best.
Pencils here.
Yeah. Dude, some of... his pencils are like so strong.
Nuts, dude. It's like,
I almost want them to just, it would
just print the pencils.
Yeah, honestly, that's what I like. It must be so scary to ink over that guy because
you're just like,
if you like, I would feel like I was just diminishing his work if I tried to like ink over it.
Thank God they took pictures.
Yeah. Thank God they scanned it. Yeah, but they look really, really great. They're not messy at all. Like, the only thing that aren't, like, super detailed is just, like, the debris, because it doesn't really matter that much. But all the character work is just
very
well
shaded,
very well, like, figured. So, he's great.
Can you imagine just, like, picking up a piece of paper and then doing this?
It's crazy to me.
You're fucking nuts.
I can't even fathom.
Like, I could maybe practice, like, one character and then do that character really good. But
for, like, 10 years and it
wouldn't
be.
As soon as you say someone else, I'd be like, fuck, I don't know.
Yeah. And he's just, like, he figures out how to do Goro. He figures out how to do... Which, by the way, there's a shot in this comic where you see Goro from the back.
Oh, yeah. You look at his back and
you look at his back muscles and you're like, this anatomy is insane.
Yeah, because I was like, how does that work? Does he have, like, two sets of lats?
That's
And then it shows it. I'm like, oh, yeah, he does. That's crazy. And it looks normal.
It does.
It doesn't look like completely someone natural. Couldn't figure it out, but he figured it out.
So I think he has two sets of lats, but he doesn't. Oh, I guess he does have two sets of shoulders.
Yeah, so I guess he has two shoulders, only one set of collarbones.
Yeah.
And then his...
Does he have four pecs? I don't think so.
No, one pec or two pecs.
I guess he would need them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. How's he supposed to do push-ups with the lower arm?
Maybe he just doesn't.
Yeah, I guess not. And so the lats would work on the lower set. So he could do like pull-ups with the lower arms if he wanted.
Must be annoying to draw, though, because if his arms are extended in any sort of way and just drawing how the other muscles like... interact because of like his arms moving, because like normally if the character is like,
you could probably
Superman
just put his
flying.
Arm in the way of the spot you don't want to draw.
That's probably what he does. So yeah, some good stuff. Kano looks really good too, and that's it.
Yeah, that was some sick back matter. Character designs and pencils, that's what I'm about.
Yeah, that's all you need to have just solid back matter, I would say.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the book. So with that, we'll go straight into the pull list.
Nathan, what would you rate Mortal Kombat X?
Oh, I would rate it a grande.
Grande. Yeah, I'd be like a like it.
A grande with light ice.
Like one mix ice. In like some Reese's or something.
A light ice. Maybe grande some M&Ms. So that you get more coffee. But like, it's not quite a venti, you know?
Okay.
That makes sense.
I'd probably do it the normal way. Like, I don't want to inconvenience them by saying like light ice, you know?
Yeah.
Just make it as simple as possible.
I guess. But that's why you use the app. And then you can't.
You use the app?
Of course.
Oh my God.
You get stars. They just added quests or something.
You have to hunt down different Starbucks or something?
They're like challenges, and it's like order 4 cold brews and you get 80 stars. And I'm like, that's all I order anyway, so fuck you.
Order 5 cold brews and get a heart attack and you get a star.
No, not all at once.
Oh, okay.
You want 5 cold brews you want to order right now?
Order 10 Frappuccinos and get diabetes and you get a star.
You'll get diabetes, but at least you get a free drink after all these stars that you get.
Oh, man. Get that.
That's so funny.
What was that frap? It was like the...
Java chip.
Yeah, get a Java chip Frappuccino. Take a selfie with all the chocolate chips in your teeth.
Yeah.
Get a star.
I remember when I fucked with those so hard.
Dude, you loved that shit. That
I was did.
That was your go-to. Because like, and at then that one point, day, we didn't know it was just basically ice cream.
It should,
We're like, oh my God, coffee's great.
I know. I was like, dude, this is the only coffee I like. But there's just like a little drop of coffee.
And then like, yeah, you could like ask mom, can you make a mocha frap?
Yeah. When you like go to chip. Any normal situation that's not a Starbucks, and it's like, you want coffee?
It's like, I can only make black coffee. And trying to make anything else out of Starbucks.
Disaster.
Yeah. I don't know how to make the coffee cold. How's that work? It just melts the ice cubes.
Yeah. Crazy.
Anyway,
let's go into the pull list. Colin, shove it in your box.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box? I didn't go this week, but I'll probably... The only thing I might get is, like, Ultra Mega 2.
You should get Ultra Mega. Have you read Ultra Mega 1?
Yes. I read it while I was getting tattooed.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because I just had my arm out, and I'm like... And I was getting really bored with Instagram, and I forgot my headphones so I can watch TikToks or a movie or something. So I just read it.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Just, like, super brutal, and, like... Did you finish it?
Yes.
So, like, the ending... I'm sure you weren't expecting.
Yeah, so like...
Where Ultra Mega just dies.
Ultra Mega dies. I'm like, oh, that sucks. He's cool. And then his kid was like this like big monster thing.
His
kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because like he abandoned his kid because they were infected.
Big monster thing, yeah.
Yeah, and so he had to fight that thing.
And he has like another kid with another person.
He does? Is that...
That's the one whose mom dies because when he bleeds out and floods the town... The mom gets clotted over, I guess.
You're right. You're right. I remember. Yeah, that shit was gross.
It was like, that wild.
Scabbing her and shit.
It was so cool, though. That, like, seeing all the kaijus and, like, the fight scenes and everything.
That book really represented, like, the, you know, the human condition for all the people that were in the city and how shitty it would be if there were some kaijus running around.
Yeah.
It was pretty fucking crazy. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd probably get two.
I don't know
if he'd even bother just picking up the prints because, like, the first one was digital. So it's like, why collect the individual issues? Because I bought the first one on Comixology.
Oh, so you're just going to get the second one on Comixology?
Yeah, might as well.
That's fair. It's a good way to do it, I guess.
Like, wherever you start, just finish it that way.
Yeah.
How long is it supposed to be? Did it say?
I think it was only like 4 issues.
Oh, okay. I can fuck with that.
Yeah.
I love limited series.
I like that format, too, because it's just like...
4 seems like a little short, but these are long issues.
They're like 60-page issues, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe...
44 or something?
I think so, yeah. Double-sized. But yeah, I really enjoy it so far. Issue 2 wasn't as...
Oh, you read it already?
Yeah, yeah. I read it before coming here.
Okay.
I picked it up. It's not as, like, crazy action-heavy.
Sure.
But it sets the stage, like, a little bit more, I think.
I could use that.
Yeah, so...
That's, like, good. I think what I was probably, like, missing a little bit. It seemed like there's a lot of, like, action and whatnot.
I can kind of tell that it's going to pick up more action like the third issue, so
sure.
I think he's pacing it out really well. I'm really impressed with James Herron at this point, honestly.
I really like the design of Ultra Mega. It's just like this helmet and shit. It just looks really cool.
Yeah. So anyway, what else did you pick up? Or no, you didn't pick up anything this week?
I have a note to pick up Silver Coin, but nice.
I
haven't gone.
That's good too.
That's what you said.
So I picked up Ultra Mega. I picked up Radiant Black number 3 and I read that one.
How's that going?
This third issue seemed weird because it was just about him trying to write a short story and he was getting stuck.
A story about writing a short story.
Yes.
Sick.
And he didn't do any action. Like the most interesting thing, I guess, is that his hype man, his like brother, basically, is like, hey, I made you a social media account for being Radiant Black. And he's like, I don't want that. And then he downloads it anyway. And then someone tags Radiant Black and is like, man, my car just fucking broke down in the middle of the road. I wish Radiant Black would come save me or whatever, as like a joke. And then he actually shows up and then he doesn't know how to fix a car because he's still just like a normal dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I can fly you to where you're going, basically. I thought that was like a kind of funny moment. So I'm still like enjoying it, but it's not that issue is like, if I get more of this, I don't know how I'm going to feel about it, but
what can he do? What does Radiant Black do?
He's got this like thing that he finds and he touches. It's like a black circle with like a blue outline kind of around it, and it turns him into Radiant Black, which gives him the suit, and he's able to like fly with it and he can levitate things.
Oh, cool.
And I think he can shoot little beams. I think he has some beams, but yeah. So now he has like sort of control of that. And then there's another person that's the exact same Radiant Black, but he's red. And that person's like robbing banks and shit.
Okay.
So eventually they're going to cross paths, and I think that'll be interesting. But this one was just like, oh, I got to write this book, you know? So this one was just a little bit weird.
Gotcha.
What else did I pick up? I also picked up Justice League number 60, which is...
Are you still reading that?
I haven't read 1 through 60. I picked up issue 59, which is Bendis' first issue.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and then this is 60. There's a lot more Naomi stuff.
Remember
Zimbardo, the bad guy in Naomi?
The big guy with like the smoke beard or whatever.
Yeah. So we don't see him in this, but he's working with another dude who I forget the name of. And the only really like big interesting thing about this is that Black Adam is probably going to be part of the Justice League, which I think is kind of interesting.
Huh. Okay.
So I don't know how I feel about it yet. It's kind of all right. I'll probably pick it up another another issue and see if I'm crazy about it.
For sure.
And then one other thing that I can't remember. Oh, Jonah and the Unpossible Monsters.
Oh, right.
Chris Samney's thing.
That's right.
And that's a really, really fast read, and it's like pretty fun. It's like a 75% silent book.
Oh, no shit.
So it's mainly just Chris Samney like flexing how fun he can make things.
Right.
So
I need to pick that up.
It's a lot of fun. I really liked the first issue, and this one, you can tell it's heading to like somewhere fun too.
How do you spell it? Jonah or something like that?
Jonah and the Unpossible Monsters.
Is it Jonah with an H?
J-O-N-N-A.
Oh, I spelled that wrong.
Also, another thing about Radiant Black, real quick, because I just remembered it. You know how there's like letters in like the back of some single issues? And they will like name it something? There's like,
oh, yeah.
They named like that segment, I guess, Blackmail for Radiant Black, and I think that's pretty funny.
What did... Robert Kirkman had a really good one for one of his books. It was like, for Invincible, it was like Invincipals. I thought that was pretty good. And then he like always has like something pretty creative for it. Maybe that's not what I was thinking of. It was like another one though.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but yeah, I'll definitely get that. Well, Jonah one.
Did you watch some unique things this week?
Ah, fuck. I watched a couple things. So we watched Iron Man 3.
Cool.
Still, it's about the same as I remember it.
Still just whatever.
I was like, yeah, that was not great. And so the next one was Thor 2. And so I'm like, it's like, let's have a good one. And so we watched Winter Soldier. And that movie's fucking good.
That movie bangs, honestly.
Definitely bangs.
I love that scene of just him finding out it's Bucky. Like that whole fight scene. Incredible.
Yeah, I keep seeing memes where it's like, you know me. And he's like, no, I don't.
No, I don't. Yeah. That's a good one.
And so
that's a good ass movie though.
Yeah, Sarah seemed to enjoy it. I forgot about like all the fucking helicarriers that they had, and they just like crashed them all.
Tell me that like main bad guy doesn't remind you of Trump.
Main bad guy.
He's like,
oh, Robert Redford.
Yeah, in that movie, kind of reminds me of him.
No. Yeah, he just seems like an old man very dumb.
He just seems like a strict businessman, I guess. But yeah. Anyway,
great
movie.
I was re-listening to our podcast just to check the sounds, and we were talking about Ed Brubaker. So he was in like that room. He was like one of the scientists that blended up Winter Soldier's mind.
Oh, he's in that
when
room
when he had his shirt off and his pecs are looking incredible.
Dude, insane.
I think he might have been the person that put in like the mouthpiece too.
Cool.
But yeah, I saw him.
That's cool. Wish you got more money for that, but yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Also watched this movie that was recommended from like TikTok, and apparently Sarah had saw it already. It's called Hard Candy. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
So it's got Elliot Page and Patrick Wilson in it. There's like five people in this movie.
Is it Elliot Page before she was Elliot Page? Or?
Yeah, that's very recent. So she was Ellen Page back then. This is when she was like 14.
Oh, okay.
So it's a movie, and it's... starts out with them, Ellen Page and Patrick Wilson in like a chat room, mm-hmm. when chat rooms were a thing. It's a very old movie. And they like, Patrick Wilson is like Patrick Wilson age. He's like 30 when that movie was made.
Uh-huh.
So they're like talking and like flirting and stuff like that. And they like meet up for like coffee or something. And they end up like going back to like his house. It's like some conversation that leads to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just going to like...
go for it.
Okay, so... so she knows like he's being a creep. She might actually be into him or whatever, but she knows he's being a creep. So she like ends up like drugging him, and so he passes out, and she ties him up.
Mm.
And
what about
he's
bitch.
Like a photographer, and he like photographs like teenage models and stuff like that as well.
Weird.
And like hangs up like the art, the photographs and stuff like that.
Extra weird.
Super weird. And then she like does like a DIY. castration on this dude.
What does that mean?
She cuts his balls off.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah, just like in his kitchen. Wow. She like numbs his nuts with like ice and
that's, I don't know if that would be 100% effective, but.
Yeah, I was like I think the blood would come back at this point.
Yeah.
She was like lying about everything about herself, because I guess she learned that he had something to do with killing one of her friends or something. And so I guess she also killed another dude that was like involved.
Oh.
And so this whole thing was just her
trying to kill this dude,
trying to get back at him. And so he like, she like kind of blackmailed him to where like, hey, you could either like kill yourself and I'll delete all of the evidence that you were involved with this, or I'll tell everybody about this and you'll like go to jail or whatever.
Is this before or after she cut off his
after
nuts?
After she cut off his balls.
Oh, okay.
And so she like hung up like a noose and he decided to just like jump off of his roof and like get hung. And then she didn't burn any of the evidence and just left it. And she called like this girl that he was like hung up on. And so she ended up going to his house and saw like everything. It's pretty crazy.
You say it's good?
Yeah, I enjoyed watching it.
Cool.
I don't know if I'd recommend it, but
yeah.
That's what happened. And it was just like this kid.
It's fun watching movies like that,
cutting off balls.
Yeah.
I was like, no, he's not gonna do that. She's like, watch. And I'm like, ah.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was super creepy because like she was trying to get her way into his house, you know, so she's flirting back and it's super uncomfortable.
Nice.
But a really, really good job by everyone.
Cool.
But yeah. And then like Sarah made me watch a show called The 100. Have you heard of that?
The CW show?
Yeah.
Some people really like it. I don't know why.
It's very cheesy looking.
It is. Yeah.
But like the plot is not that bad.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of interesting, and I guess I kind of want to know what happens, but in the dialogue's not great either.
That's what I'm... Yeah.
It's just like, it's more like, I think they're in this situation, this would be crazy if this actually happened, let's see where it goes kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's one of those shows that gets better, like, in later seasons, but I
had, like, 7 seasons, so I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, so I just didn't feel like it was worth going through it, but it looks interesting enough, I guess.
It's definitely got that, like, CW funding.
It definitely looks like a CW show, yeah.
And so I'm like, ee.
That's funny. Falcon and Winter Soldier? The Fat W's?
Yes, sir.
What an episode.
What an episode, oh boy.
How did you like two boys fighting Captain America?
Pretty sick. Big fight in the beginning.
Great scene.
Yeah.
I liked seeing Falcon and Winter Soldier, like, work together. Doing I like seeing just stuff. Like his wings and stuff, but like,
yeah,
it was all like, it was cool because it was kind of a sad scene that it even like got to that point, you know, because it's Sam Wilson and Bucky who are very good friends with Captain America, and now they're having to fight this dude that's like supposed to be Captain America and it's like his legacy,
right?
But he's just like a big baby.
Yeah, he's
essentially
been, yeah, he's been really shitty about it.
Yeah. So there was some cool stuff.
Yeah, they ripped off, he ripped off Falcon's wings, which is pretty brutal.
But, you know, Sam did a sweet leg sweep with them. I liked that a lot. And then he, like, tried using his, like, little cord thing. It never works out for him.
What cord thing?
The little cord thing, and he, like, shoots it, and it sticks on the thing, and then he tries to fly away.
Oh,
but it never works out. Someone just, like, pulls him back, or he, like, swings him around with it. Like, don't use that thing.
He always tries on, like, super people.
Yeah, don't do that. Just use it for things that are just slightly far away, you know? Maybe not on people that could throw you around.
He should probably use every tool that he has available.
Where's his guns? He used to have guns.
I don't know.
Because he used to have, like, 2 Uzis he's flying around with, and I'd be like, those are really good in this situation in particular. But he's just not using guns right now, I guess.
Definitely.
So I thought that was kind of funny. But, yeah, I think that was a really great scene. They were fighting with the shield, and there's still blood on the shield, and I thought that was kind of gross.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Not sanitary at all.
There's lots of compilations this episode. The boat building compilation.
Yeah, that could definitely be left out, but it's whatever.
I enjoyed that. I think what could have been left out is the Sam Wilson compilation where he's doing flips and throwing a shield.
Oh, his training montage?
What is that doing? That's like that's like a week at max of him just like running really fast and doing some push-ups.
Yeah, dude, cardio.
And doing a flip, which is weird that
he's been flying around for a long time. He doesn't need to do that many push-ups.
But he's like trying to practice throwing the shield when like 15 minutes before he's throwing the shield with Bucky and they're like
no
just,
problem.
They're just two boys throwing a shield around.
Yeah, it's like they're playing frisbee or something.
But so like why is he
I like
trouble?
That he was well he's getting like better with it. Like,
yeah.
Using it like in action. And I like that he didn't catch it every single time because I'm like this shit's got to be so hard to try and like get used to.
Yeah. Yeah. But like why I feel like those scenes should have been like flipped almost because you'd think he would need to get used to throwing the shield and then he could just throw it around with
his
he's
boy. Obviously like done it before but I guess it's just more casual.
Guess it's a lot harder with some flips.
Anyway, Walker gets in trouble. He doesn't go to jail for some reason.
No, he just gets discharged, which is still pretty bad, but he probably should go to jail.
And then some like random,
he's just canceled essentially.
Some random lady,
it's cancel culture gone wild.
Some random lady comes up to him and like says like answer my call and
no idea who
is that the power broker or something. I don't know.
It might be, but I don't think it is.
What does like U.S. agent normally like involved with? Is he involved with some sort of
just himself? I think. Okay. I don't know much about him, to be completely honest.
Okay.
But yeah, that girl might be the power broker because she gives that one girl a card and it's just black and white.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe it's like supposed to mean like power broker, like an electricity bill.
Something. I don't know.
Electricity bill. Like she could make your house dark by turning off your power, you know?
I don't think that's what they mean.
I think so. You'll see.
They're definitely talking about, you know, residential electricity.
Maybe it's like a black light thing that you need to do, or maybe it's a scratch and sniff. Who knows?
Maybe.
But
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe you need to put like heat by it.
Yeah, maybe. So yeah, I have no idea what her deal is, but
I think that's the point.
It seems like she's been a part of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something at some point because she knows that the like S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't the government's, which makes sense because it's Wakandan vibranium and then Tony Stark, or what's his name? Howard Stark, I think, originally made it. So
yeah.
So it makes sense that it's not part of the government, but yeah.
The Dora Milaje take Zemo.
Yeah, which you'd think they'd just like want to kill him because they killed T'Chaka.
Do they kill people?
Tons of people.
But like,
I'm pretty sure.
You don't think he'll stand trial or something in Wakanda?
Well, they said that they're going to take him to the raft, which is the boat prison, you know, that everybody seems to escape from. Or no, because Tony Stark just like let everybody out in Civil War.
Oh, remember? Is that what that is?
That's the raft.
That's a Wakandan thing?
I don't think so. I think it's a S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, but they're taking Zemo to that raft, so I'm not sure why.
Huh. Okay. But,
yeah.
The
Dora Milaje are so cool, honestly.
Yeah, they're badass. Sam visits like Isaiah again and just kind of gets
that stuff was really cool.
Yeah, super deep. I really liked all of that and just kind of his whole experience
I like his line where it's like, those are my men, not evidence or whatever,
right?
And I think that was like, I think his performance is like really, really good.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And like, because it brings that question of like, Isaiah wants nothing to do with the S.H.I.E.L.D. so like, as like a black man, almost like Sam Wilson should not want anything to do with the S.H.I.E.L.D. because it's like a white man's S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Yeah.
And I thought that those were really interesting ideas, but it almost seems like Sam wants to now have motivation to change that outlook because he knows Steve was like a really good guy. And it almost seems like a younger generation of kids, because like Sam Wilson's like nephews or whatever, they're like playing with the S.H.I.E.L.D. and having fun with it. So they obviously have a positive outlook on it. So maybe he wants to take that to like do like a more positive spin and do right by people in like a different way. And I think that stuff's like really good. I think they've done that super well in this show. So big credit to them, because that's tough to handle, I feel like.
Yeah, because like when he was done talking, I'm like, damn, he's got a point. You guess you can't be Captain America.
Yeah, I know. Because I was like, this episode, I see him like walk around the shield. I'm like, he's definitely going to be Captain America. And after that scene, I was like, fuck, man, I don't know. I don't know if he will.
Do you even want it?
But obviously he will be
now. Just keep being Falcon. It'd be great.
Yeah. Also, I thought it was fun that Bucky was like flirting with Sam Wilson's sister. That was a fun little bit.
He just said hi and stuff.
Yeah, but he's got a charm.
Yeah, so Walker, like John Walker, visited Lamar's family and made it seem like he killed like the person who killed him, and
which is
like,
not the case, right?
No, he killed someone else. But like, because I'm pretty sure
they're all in the Flag Smashers, but the person he killed didn't kill
Lamar,
right?
Yeah, it was like the girl, whatever her name is,
Carly.
Yeah, Carly killed him.
Okay, interesting.
And so like kind of getting them on like his side, I'm like, you piece of shit.
He is a piece of shit. I was kind of rooting for him in the beginning, and then now he's just a big baby.
Let's see what he can do.
Yeah,
give the guy a chance.
Yeah,
got some big shoes to fill.
He does.
There's like one scene with Sharon Carter where she's making some shady call.
Probably a power broker.
Probably the power broker too. I don't know. Maybe there's two of them.
Could be. Did you see the after credits scene?
Fuck, was there one?
This is the only one that had it.
Okay, I was like, I give up, dude. But what was it?
It's just another compilation of John Walker making his own Captain America shield out of metal, but he's introducing his medals of honor inside of that shield. And that's it.
Is it round?
Yeah, he's like spray painted it red and blue and everything. It looks pretty similar.
It probably won't do the same thing.
It won't be all bouncy and shit. I just hope we get a scene where he throws it and it doesn't work.
it's not like vibranium. I just wanted to get like dented.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's everything I have to say about it. It's a good episode. Next episode, season finale, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, it ends with like the Flag Smashers stopping some sort of vote or something, like to end the GRC or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
they have an app.
Yeah, I guess. Winter Soldier sent like the wings to Wakanda, and then they sent it back. I saw a little bit of white in there, so it's probably...
You didn't see any of it.
You saw color, Nathan.
Did you?
And I'm pretty sure it's the Captain America
What Falcon. Else would it be? It's obviously that.
Someone just had to say it, okay?
Yeah, okay, all right.
And it'll be dope. I can't wait. It's going to be all shiny.
It's going to look great. They got a lot of wrap-up in the last episode, but I'm sure they'll do well.
Definitely.
All right, Invincible, real quick. We're at 120 right now, just so you know.
Okay, not a great episode in comparison. There's a lot of college shit, and I just like don't care about that, I guess.
I could not get past that it was Justin Roiland as that college dude.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, that definitely sounds like Morty.
I knew it. I didn't even have to look it up, but I had to just to make sure. But I
knew that he was in this eventually, but right away, I was like, that's fucking Rick and Morty right there.
Yeah. It's weird to just like go on a college visit trip for just like a couple days. Like no one would do that, I feel like.
Yeah, no. We didn't even do that for ASU. We just went there.
Yeah, drove up and we're like, this looks all right, I guess. And then
be like, that house looks like a prison, but like, these dorms look kind of crazy. But did you recognize the voice of D.A. Sinclair?
Ezra Miller, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He was perfect for this. He's
absolutely
perfect. He's exactly who I like. He sounded exactly what I envisioned in my head.
Just like when reading it. Fucking dude you want to punch in the face.
Yeah, just a nerd.
I liked the thing that Justin Roiland's character turns into and how he eventually just like kills himself.
Because he sees himself. He's like, I can't remember what he calls those things, but
I can't remember either. But then he fights a bunch of them, and then the dude that Mark's friend, who's named his gay friend.
Jimmy Jim.
So Mark's friend Jimmy Jim is interested in this other dude who's named
Chad.
Chad turns into one of those big Chads,
right?
Let's just call those big things big Chads. So he has to fight off a bunch of big Chads. But what else really happened? Amber's super pissed at him.
Deb, like his mom, like goes to see Art.
Yeah. Okay, shit was wild.
And he like analyzes the blood on like how old it was, and the oldest blood was like on Omni-Man's fists, meaning he like struck first.
Yeah, which was cool.
And like pointed out that it belonged to like Red Rush and things like that.
Yeah, so mom knows for sure that he does it, and then she eventually admits it to him.
She confronts Omni-Man, yeah.
Which is ballsy as hell.
Absolutely.
I love her character in this show. She's can't remember.
She's so much better in the show than she is in the book.
Because now... I'm really interested to see what Omni-Man does.
He's gonna like convince her
that he didn't
he's probably gonna no
or
he's
that gonna, or why he did it.
He's gonna get her on his side.
Interesting.
It sounds unlikely. There might be like a storm off kind of thing, but he'll probably explain his whole deal and what he's doing kind of thing, and but like structure it in a way to where he doesn't come out as the bad guy.
I'm because excited to see that.
Yeah, because I don't see Omni-Man as like a bad guy after, you know, these early issues kind of thing. Just because, I don't know, whenever there's like big concept things that they do in that book, it always kind of makes sense, the reasoning. You know what I mean? Like, no one seems that bad because I'm like, all right, he's got a point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway.
So he's just a good character. But yeah, I liked that. Omni-Man like brought beers to go talk to Art, and that like must feel so tense for him to like not fuck anything up.
Oh yeah,
so yeah, pretty funny.
And
then Adam Eve is just God in like this corner of the world.
Yeah, this is actually a really cool part for her. Yeah. She's just like, I don't need to go to school. I can just like end natural disasters and stop hunger.
And she's having a great time.
She loves that shit.
Yeah,
she's got like her African house. Good in for a tree.
Her. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So good stuff.
D.A. Sinclair is still alive. Invincible hits him and breaks his jaw, but he's still alive.
Yeah. He's just in the control of the...
He gets like arrested by Cecil and stuff like that. He comes back. It's pretty cool when he does. I could spoil that, but...
No, I don't want it.
It I spoiled it for Sarah. She's like, wow. Like, no, it's so cool.
I'm surprised you're making Sarah watch it.
No, she actually likes that show. She like... she actually recommended it to her brother, who's like a big anime dude.
Oh, cool.
And so I'm like, yeah.
Nice.
And then the Mahler twins dug up like Immortal's grave. Or grave.
Yep.
And they are really big into cloning.
Yep.
And so...
I remember that briefly as well. So good stuff.
Probably come back. Love that show.
Love the show. It's doing good. How many episodes?
I guess this shit comes out on Thursdays because I checked and it's out before you got here.
I guess it's a Thursday show.
Yeah. Which is great. Cool. I think it's 8 episodes, right?
this was what, episode 5, 4?
6.
6?
Because I think this next one is 7.
Interesting. Okay.
Which will suck when it's over, because I don't know what I'll do with my life. I'll just rewatch it.
Yeah. Rewatch it a bunch of times. Well.
Yep. 8 episodes. Next one. Last one's next week. And I'm.
What the fuck?
I mean, the last episode of Winter Soldier is this week.
Yeah, true.
I'm going to be so depressed. Oh, my God.
There's going to be nothing to watch except for normal things.
I have no purpose.
Not a fan. What are we reading next week, Daniel?
Well, since, do you want to tell the listeners about your latest purchase?
Oh, I bought an Ant-Man helmet for $35 from GameStop because I got a hella sale. It fits on my head. I can push a little button and it turns red.
And blue.
And blue based off the use of the PIM particles. The little puppy that Sophia has, Kilala, she's not a fan of it. She wants to just fight me as soon as I put it on.
Dogs hate helmets for some reason.
It's crazy. She's like, get out of there. And she's like jumping on me and stuff. And I'm trying to fight her as if she's like a bad guy. You know? It's very cute. But yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm trying to collect helmets now. So
hell yeah, that's badass. I thought it'd be interesting to pick a book based off your helmet. Read an Ant-Man book.
Ooh.
I know that there is a run by Robert Kirkman called The Irredeemable Ant-Man.
It's supposed to be like kind of controversial.
Which is why I want to read it.
Let's do it.
Unless you want to read something else.
Because it's not like Paul Rudd.
It's like it's neither of them. It's
not Scott or other Ant-Man.
Yeah.
What's his name? I can't remember.
Hank Pym.
Hank Pym. It's another dude. Hold on. Yeah, let's do that one. I think that'd be a good one.
Okay, yeah. I just saw like a little thing about it, and I was like, oh, that looks interesting.
It's Scott Lang. That's what his name is. But Irredeemable? Is that what it
Irredeemable
is?
Ant-Man, yes. The trade's called Low Life.
Oh, Corey Walker does this?
Does he really? That's sick. We got to do it now.
Okay, yeah. Volume 1, Low Life. Oh, no, this one's Phil Hester. The next trade is Corey Walker.
Ah.
But yeah, I'm totally down for that.
Okay.
That's going to be an interesting read. Cause
I think that'd be, yeah, it'll be interesting, and I think it'd be funny.
Yeah. So that's the show for this week.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
This is 2007? I thought it was more recent.
It's somewhat I would say that's kind of recent, I guess.
What has Phil Hester done?
Family Tree.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So he's great.
Yeah, I love him.
So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been the Trade Waiters Podcast, obviously. I don't know why I said that, but if you want to reach us, you can email us at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com.
Tell us what to read.
Tell us what to read. Tell us what you think. What have you been reading? What's been good? You can reach us on Twitter at tradewaiterspod. I've been posting some cool art that I've been seeing. I also might do things going forward where I'll post just like something I read from the Polis I think is really good.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be cool. I think that might be kind of cool, but I'm also at more like Nathick on Twitter. That's just my personal Twitter. And
go follow Nathan.
Yeah, go follow me only.
Thank you, Nathan Moss, for our theme. Thank me for the other songs.
I will not.
Do it, Nathan.
And that's the show. Thanks, everybody.
Alrighty.
Peace.